Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on Earth! Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast! You'll gasp, you'll laugh, and you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Hi.
And Matt Bradshaw.
Hi.
Welcome!
It's not weird, it's great.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome to you.
Nice
welcome to
see
Steve
you.
Vagona,
thank you.
Our very
thank
special
you
guest.
Thank
our
you.
First guest.
I'm glad
cheers,
I
mate.
Smell.
Good at
you never smell.
Oh, good.
You do often smell. Do you remember that? What was it? Live jazz? Is that what the, that was? Do you still
I
have a live
aftershave just because of the t-shirt?
I thought so.
Yeah, had a live jazz t-shirt. Loved it. So I had to buy the aftershave.
Oh yeah, right. So there was jazz.
But I
yeah,
didn't know
it was live jazz.
I didn't know it was an aftershave. I just thought Steve was a real jazz head when I first met him.
That's right.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, it did smell good. It smelled good as well. I should have put the two together.
When Shannon first joined our band.
Yep.
And in the emails I always refer to you as Stiv. He thought your name was Stiv. So when he first said your name out loud, he said, and Stiv? So,
yes.
Oh, that's a little bit awkward.
Yes.
Sorry, I feel like I've set you up for something here, Shannon. No, no, it's actually Steve.
We should have kept that going.
I call him Stiv. Am I allowed to do that voice?
Yeah.
Good.
You're allowed to do any voice you like. I won't judge you. Others will.
Oh. Oh, I nearly did one.
But that's all right. I understand your intentions are not to be offensive. Well, mostly.
Thanks, man. The guy.
Yeah.
So here we are, episode 6. My name is Matt. This is Dom. We've established this is Steve.
Steve.
We have been in a band together on the odd occasion. We're currently not. Although, we might get to that as far as
well,
the Inside Zero story.
What's happening is... you guys are in a band together.
That's true.
We're in a band together.
Also true.
We've been in bands together, Steve and I. It's very... I keep doing this. I know it's a podcast, so it's primarily an audio thing. And I keep making... I mean, you know, I'm half Italian, so of course my hand gestures do like 80% of my talking.
They're useless.
So I apologise to anyone who's listening to this and going, there's all this... dead air when Dom talks, and it's because I think I'm actually saying something in my head.
Yeah, actually, mate, I might shut my eyes from now on and just listen to what's going on, and then I'll hold you up every time I think that there's a dead spot. If you guys have left the room now, there's going to be trouble. All right, they're still there. It's okay.
They're still here.
Don't panic. So part of what we're trying to do with this podcast is, aside from entertain and illuminate people.
I was going to say we just want to hang out with our friends that we don't see enough.
There is that.
That's what I thought it was all about.
Ah. So Dom and I are kind of getting to know each other, but we've got these friends of ours that for exactly the same reasons that Dom and I don't kind of know anywhere near as much about one another, despite being really good mates. We just don't get to hang out at all.
We're all busy.
Really, aside from
gigs
and stuff. You've got a family.
Puh,
you're like an actual grown up.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty recent. It took me a while, but.
Yeah. They're growing up bit or their family?
I still haven't done that. I'm here. It's a Monday night.
Oh, yeah, Monday.
At school holidays.
That's true.
Yeah. Steve, other than being, well, what I would say, I think you have the mantle of being like the best guy in the world. It's Steve Agona, best guy.
You are commonly regarded as the nicest guy in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Who's did you know that?
I have not heard this.
Dude, no, anyone who's met you.
But other than that,
I hope I don't start.
I don't want to harp on it because I want to make you feel. I don't want to make you feel awkward. But you also do other things, and one of those other things is you're a teacher.
Yes.
And how many days do you teach?
So I teach 3 days a week, which I started doing when I had my firstborn.
Yep.
So it's been
so you went from like full-time
to full-time
to
part-time.
Yep.
Yep. Allowed me to spend a bit of time with the kids and do other stuff.
Awesome.
Which we'll probably allude to in a moment.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah.
House husband?
House husband.
Do you think of yourself as a house husband?
No,
does Amy
I don't.
Think of you as house husband?
Maybe some days. No, I don't think so. I mean, she's home quite a bit too. She does shift work, so It just kind of balances out, and it gives time for some other pursuits, which is really
and
cool.
Do you teach music anymore?
Yes, a little bit.
You do again?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
A little bit of performing arts, yep. and
every time Steve and I play together, he teaches music.
Wow. Yes. So yeah, a little bit of a range of stuff wherever they need me. It's one of those. It's at a school where it's kind of fluctuated with population changes and stuff, and I've kind of been that guy that's adapted to different areas.
You're Luke Hodge.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Who?
He plays football.
Also a good bloke.
What?
Good bloke.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Australian rules football.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a sport.
Okay, yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we do, except they run around more.
I think the team they kind of follow, Matt, he's on top of the ladder.
You're
just trying to be a footballer.
Yeah. No, I was trying to be a crow.
Nice.
I had a t-shirt when I was a kid, and it was a crow getting shot, and his mate was saying, fuck.
See?
Yeah. It's a great t-shirt. Yeah.
Yep. I had one which Ivan gave me, and it was A, B, C, D, E, F, U, C, K.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
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 I thought that was so cool.
I liked your McDonald's one, too. You had that one as well.
What was that
one? It didn't say McDonald's.
It didn't.
The M.
Ah, yeah.
Steve doesn't think he can swear.
Then it said other.
Right. So it was is it swear?
Yeah, it was a swear.
Okay.
It's a swear. It's a category F.
Yeah.
Is it category M?
I don't eat McDonald's, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I've been a Crows supporter since they were the Camry Crows.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. As in what they were
Tony
branded.
Tony Modra and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I don't think that's true. I think you were once upon a time a supporter when they were the Camry Crows, and now you don't care about them anymore. You can't say I'm still a supporter if you don't support.
I do.
I think you've...
Modra. I do.
He was so good.
He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. Pain in the ass when you were against him.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Not that I was
pain
in the ass when you weren't.
Yeah.
Right. Adelaide's a small place. We all know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to come to the restaurant that I worked at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before I was a professional musician.
Right.
Oh. He didn't react.
No, you are one. I just feel awkward about me. Anyone. Yeah.
Okay. As we have previously ascertained, the textbook definition of professional is the fact that we get paid for what we do.
Okay. I haven't seen this textbook you're referring to.
You're a professional, Dom. You've proven that. And you
we should talk about something later on about pay equality. We should have a discussion about pay equality. Not just between men and women, but like we'll talk about it later.
Is this because I said $25 an hour to drive an Uber wasn't enough?
No.
Okay then.
No. But before we get to that, because something...
Hey, I've never seen a female Uber driver.
Have they released a thing they're going to have one called Sheba?
What?
Yeah, it's going to be full...
Who's going to be the queen?
Wow. Is this true?
Yeah, they're going to have Uber for women, driven by women. Huh. So only women can use it. So because there's a feeling it's not a very regulated industry and women don't feel particularly safe.
Will it be like when they had the women-only screening of Wonder Woman at that theatre in the States and men all fucking complained about it?
Did they?
Yeah.
There will probably be...
Oh, world! Oh, God! Jeez.
There'll probably be people that complain about it, that talk about, that have what I think is a redundant argument of you want equality, but then you want to exclude us. They'll have that, but I think there's definitely, when it comes down to...
Wow.
When it comes down to people's safety and what they feel comfortable with.
Cheaper. I think fares should be cheaper.
As in...
If it's cheaper, if it's a female-run Uber, because their insurance premiums are lower. should translate to the customer, shouldn't it?
Are female drivers' insurance premiums lower?
Yeah, well, they're less likely to have accidents.
Are they really?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yes.
I
wow.
Statistics. Umbrage.
Statistics.
Really?
Is this something you taught at school from a textbook?
No, no, no. There's no such textbook.
Yeah, that's interesting. This comes up in conversation every now and then when Matt or I get a speeding fine.
Is that why your family's cat changed its name?
No, the cat didn't change its name.
From Oscar to Oscarlina? No, just to get better insurance rates? Is that what happened?
I don't think that's true. No.
But see previous episode.
But that's like with getting speeding fines and whatnot. You should get credit points. Now, look, what are they called? Demerit points. So everyone, no matter who you are and how often you drive, how far you drive, everyone gets up to 12 demerit points and they lose a license. Well, what about people like us who drive 1,000 k's a week?
That's true.
We should get more.
Absolutely, it's true.
Yeah, we should.
And there are insurance companies that do it pro rata.
Yeah.
Why can't the police?
Yeah. And the other thing, here's a question for you. The other thing that should be,
this is a subject that's dear to me.
Oh, I know. Hey, did I tell you?
Bloody dear.
I can tell.
I got a red light fine, mm-hmm. and then it got rescinded. I got a letter saying it was one of those things that was in the mail. What are they called? The bug? Yeah, what do people do when they send viruses? Bugs.
No.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was a virus.
I read the article the other day that said that all those cameras that were affected by the virus, all those fines were going ahead.
I got a letter saying don't pay the fine.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I heard a bit of that too, where they'd be reinstated or something or other like that.
You might not be off the hook yet, big fella.
But no, it could be a special
case. Don't pay the fine. Yet.
It could be a special case. They could have looked at the case he does.
Yeah.
They might have actually... It might be that hidden
thing. Tom's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I reckon I do between 30 and 35,000 kilometres a year. I think the fact that I have got so many points left... sorry, have accrued so few. Oh, it's such difficult language.
There should be a website. There should be a website that you can log on to where you give people your demerit points and get paid for them. So you're like so you take people's... let's say you go in that 3-year period, I haven't had a speeding fine, so I don't have any demerit points taken away from me.
DPA.
So
DPA.com.
Matt does. Yeah.
Demerit Points Anonymous.
Yeah.
.com.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Great.
Kind of like your water rights, like not using your water rights if you live in the country and you give it to someone else.
Yeah, that's a thing?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then that's obvious.
Because they're entitled to so many megalitres a month or whatever.
Depending on the size of property or if they've got river access and stuff like that.
I could do an extra gig a week and drive faster to get there.
What, by just giving...
By paying someone else to take my points.
Yeah, but you probably have to still pay the fine and then pay someone. So you'd have to be a very expensive gig to make it worthwhile.
Hey, I got road raged last night.
No.
On my way home. Yeah, full on.
No,
full on.
What, like at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, after our gig.
Yeah, what happened?
Was
it someone that really wanted us to play another set? Like one more song, and they followed you?
No, full on. Like really close to my car in the lane next to me, just fucking angry.
What?
Driving angry.
What did you do?
In a white Tarago. No, absolutely wasn't anything I did. Like they...
Kidding.
Went past me maybe doing 20 kilometres an hour faster than me and then pulled across in front of me and then they were, I don't know what their deal was, if they were drunk or just
must have been
damn angry.
Yeah.
But I rang the cops and the moment he saw me hit the button from the passenger seat, obviously, I'm not allowed to touch my phone, he fucked off.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah. But window down, bellowing at me and doing this into... Yeah, nuts. Mm. It's never happened to me before.
Humans are weird.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
Lucky I wasn't in the King Street nightclub. Anything could have happened.
That's true.
Anything.
Shit, eh?
So, Steve, one of the things we wanted to do with our podcast is obviously catch up with friends of ours that we don't see very often and also... ask them questions about cool things they do in their life that we don't know much about. So don't worry, we're not going to ask you about that.
Yeah, not the fanboys. Yes.
That was me being funny, I think. That Steve's, Steve doesn't do anything bad. But you recently, in the last couple of years, have started your own coffee business
yeah.
with yeah. a good friend of yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it, I drink a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think I'm a bit. I don't think I'm much of a coffee
fan.
You're
a decaf fan, aren't you?
I have been yeah. in the past. Not so much a fan, but like I've tried not to have caffeine. But now I'm now I'm back on it.
He's off the wagon. You're on the wagon.
Right.
Which one is it, Steve?
Oh, I never know that.
Oh, no one knows.
Oh, come on, the wagons. It's on or off. Me and my brother have this conversation all the time.
How can we not know this?
Yeah, Episode 7, definition of on or off the wagon.
Yeah, right.
So could you tell us what inspired you to start making your own coffee? Like roasting, I guess roasting your own coffee initially, was it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's weird. It came from, you know, I was on holidays. I was with my family. It was about 3.5 years ago. Just sitting by a pool, and I just thought, well, what's the deal with coffee? You know? Seriously. And I'm thinking, you know, what's the deal with coffee? And I don't know where it came from, just out of the blue. I've always enjoyed a coffee. I've never been a massive coffee drinker growing up, you know, with an espresso or two a day, you know, the old Italian way on the stove. And so I was always around it, but
in like those kind of thought, silver things, the bottom thing and the top thing.
Yeah,
is that a good? Shut up! I'm
learning.
I'm drawing a visual image in people's ears with my words.
Yeah, and you're not doing it with your hands, Dom.
So that's why I've been quiet. Yeah. Bottom thing with the top thing.
That's right.
The silver thing. It's is it a hexagon?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
You going hex again?
I'm going hex, not oct.
Is it aluminium?
No. They can be. They can be, or they can be.
I'm just like see, another. You have the mental picture in your mind, and I can just see my grandmother's.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, it's not that. It's this.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, stainless steel quite often, but okay. Yeah, they can be.
So what's the deal? The coffee goes in the top, and you boil the water at the bottom.
No, so with those, you put water in the bottom.
Yeah.
And then there's a little basket filter thing.
Right.
And you put the ground coffee in there and then you close it up.
Ah.
And then the water boils, it sends it through the filter. So it's taking coffee with it and then it drips into the top part.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or okay. It's not actually boiling the coffee. It's just boiling the water and putting it through the... Oh, it is boiling the coffee.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's boiling the water. It's, you know, I mean, if you wanted to get technical, it's kind of probably heating the coffee up too much and burning the coffee, and that's why
this is
just what coffee. Why coffee out of what we call a cafetera, it comes out quite.
Is he allowed to use that accent?
It's not.
Oh, he's Italian. It's all right.
Yeah, that's right. It's allowed. So it comes out quite bitter, and that's how Italians generally like their coffee. And it's because
they didn't know any better though, because they've just boiled their coffee for the last 57,000 years.
Offend anyone here?
That's how Italians generally like most things, from my experience.
Bitter,
boiled.
Oh, cannot though. I love.
Yeah. Oh yes, bitter.
Yeah.
Bitter Coke.
Yeah. Like strong taste. You don't have.
No.
You don't have.
And because the coffee's so fine, it's a strong brew as well, because the grounds are so fine. So
I can remember when they used to have coffee grinding machines in the supermarket.
Smell.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's the grinding of beans that really
and
gives
it was like a
aroma.
Yeah. Awesome. It was a pretty like it was a big deal if my parents were like having a dinner party and they ground coffee for the percolator. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy when you think of what fresh beans actually are in comparison to beans that have been sitting on a supermarket shelf
of course.
For 4 months.
Yeah. All right. So
that's right. Yeah.
I've got to know. Yeah. So you're on holiday and so you basically did what Matt and I did and we went, what's with making a podcast?
Yeah.
Surely we can make it. Surely I can learn how to make a podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was really no. There was no drive to, you know, I don't know, just sitting there and something. Felt like doing something new and thought, what's a go with that? And then I had my wife next to me going, well, you want to be a barista? You want to learn how to make coffee? I'm like, I don't want to be a barista. I don't know. Where's coffee come from? Like, what's a go? How do you get coffee?
Yeah.
You know? And then...
out of the arse of a cat.
That's well, apparently, understand. In some areas, yeah. And then I thought,
not my cat. I'm not making coffee out of that.
Should we try?
Oh, God.
That's not why I stopped drinking coffee.
Wow. She does. She does.
This coffee tastes like shit.
She does drop it in her own filter tray for you.
Oh, God, yeah. Cats.
What was the step from there? I assume you didn't just kind of...
No, I didn't know what to do from there. I just kind of put it out there.
Homeless Glen Institute and do a coffee course.
I actually looked at what was out there, again, not really knowing what I was after. And then I learnt about roasting and thought, okay, well, what's the go with roasting? And then I realised there was courses out there, but I spoke to my good mate, Rob, who became a partner, also a musician, and... And he said, oh, because he used to work for a coffee company, said, I'll put you in contact with this guy called Nick, who's a roaster.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, I'll talk to this roaster guy. So I'm talking to Nick, and, you know, he said, oh, you know, what do you want to know? I go, I don't know how to cook beans and where they come from. What's the go with parts of the world, regions, origins, plants, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. So we just kind of, we organised a little impromptu once a week, we'd hook up and have a little bit of a session and learn about plants and stuff. And after about the fourth week, we started roasting, and you know, I just took to it. It was one of those things, you know, when you just come across something new and you just go, yeah, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. You know, it just comes at the right time of your life or whatever, and you just take it on board. So I really soaked up a lot. Didn't do an official course as such, but just learnt on the spot and kind of on the street, you could say. Played around with different origins of beans and all that sort of thing. And then I was doing that for a few months. And then Amy bought me a little home roaster for my birthday.
Steve's wife, Amy.
Amy. I thought, did I establish that before?
No.
No, I didn't. Okay.
My wife, you said.
My wife.
Like an English comic. And then Amy. Who's this Amy chick?
I thought Dom mentioned it earlier.
You do have to define these things just in case Amy's listening.
Sure.
Yes.
Or
my wife
and Amy's listening.
Understood. All right. No, I'm on your piece.
Amy is Steve's wife. They are not two separate people.
No,
no, they are not.
Steve and Amy are two separate people.
He's not that kind of Italian.
No.
A bigamist is not just
is
a,
that
heavy,
a thing?
Heavy fog in Italy.
Bigamy is not a thing in Italy.
I think it's a bit of a thing in most parts of the world. Just not talked about.
Yeah.
Move on.
Oh. Episode 8.
I'm single, by the way. I don't know. I'm learning all kinds of new things today.
Tom's open for bigamy.
Open
for bigamy.
So you got a roaster?
Okay, so I got a little roaster. Started playing around at home, roasting, that is. And, and you know, started getting some good results. That it was a bit tricky because it wasn't very, you know, you didn't have a lot of manipulation of the roast. You kind of put it in, you set the time and the temperature, and it generally gave you a roast that was okay. And, but I kind of was getting really good at it, and I was roasting for myself and for family and then some friends who drank coffee, and you know, this is all right. People are drinking it, and that was really cool. I thought, wow, I'm making a product people are into. It's nice, and then to my good friend Rob, I said, well, you know, how about we get a roaster and we'll put it out.
Make
there.
Some more, yeah.
Yeah. I thought, okay, cool, no worries. So we just we got a second hand coffee roaster, and away we went. Just started roasting, you know. First few weeks it was probably just a kilo a week going out, you know, people were buying half kilo or 250 gram bag, and it's going all right, and some people were taking it that kind of, you know, understood their coffee a little bit and understood that, oh, it's a fresh coffee and it's, you've done well with the roast and all that. So yeah, it was cool. And then so the same year, by September, I entered into a competition called the Golden Bean, which is an international-based competition was up in Newcastle 2 years ago. And just to get some feedback, so I went up for a day, did some coffee tasting, and, you know, wound up having about, I don't know, 50 espresso shots in the one day testing.
Still awake since then.
That's right, haven't slept yet. it was pretty well received. I won a bronze medal for it amongst you know,
brilliant. Many first comp out.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. A few months in, so that was cool, and it kind of gave it a little boost straight away.
And was it branded at this point?
It was okay. Branded. It was branded as Verify Coffee, but it's we truth. Hadn't.
Truth.
Yes, correct. Truth and honest in Italian. And yeah, it's good, Italian. Tom. That's yeah. very good. Yeah.
Little half.
Just kind of went from there, really. And then, just the orders started increasing, started to fine-tune that blend a little bit better.
If you discovered that your coffee was only being used to pack around cocaine, well, would you be okay with that?
Pack around cocaine.
Well, as in smuggling.
Yeah, so the dogs can't find it.
Flattering because of the aromas that I'm creating.
Yeah, correct.
I don't know. It's
a ironic name, though.
Why?
What's this variant of coffee? must be fine. No cocaine in that.
No.
See? Yeah, it's honest.
Yeah.
There we go. That's it. There you go.
Maybe you should do coke as well. Car.
Well, maybe.
Hmm. So if
sales go bad,
So, sourcing beans. So what have you found out about beans from around the world?
There's a lot out there. There's areas within a country that have so much diversity. It's not just this is a Brazilian bean and they all taste like this. You know, there's regions, there's all sorts of stuff going on. But in essence, you've got, you know, beans that are full of flavour. Some are citric, some are used for their chocolatey notes and all that kind of thing. Some are used for body, you know. And when blends are created by coffee companies, they want a bit of everything. They want a coffee with body and they want this sort of flavour and that. And that's why it ends up being a 3 or 4 bean blend or more.
You know? About 43 beans?
43. I think it took 43 goes to get that one right.
43. What's the deal with
this? Blend 43.
Yeah.
Yeah,
why do they make such a big deal out of that? Is it just floor shaving so they've put in a jar?
It's hard to say. It's
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
No.
Nescafe Blend 43.
Yes.
Like that's their whole...
No, I know that, but what's with the floor shavings? What was that about?
Well, I don't know, just squeezing up whatever's left over and just chuck them all in the...
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't want to offend any of our listeners. You know, they might like a Blend 43 and that's the thing too. Everyone's got different tastes and different.
Dude, I used to love International Roast.
That is floor shavings. That works. That stuff. But it's interesting. It's been an interesting journey because, again, everyone's tastes are different. So trying to create this coffee blend that everyone's going to love is impossible.
Yeah.
It's more about standing by the fact that it's fresh. It's roasted well. So be it our coffee or anyone else's, the difference is between so many fresh coffees out there that are just roasted, you know, a week ago and what's on your supermarket shelf. And that's the distinctive difference.
Yeah. So what's the shelf life then?
Shelf life after roasting, you've pretty much got about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Coffee's still fine after a couple of months, except all those things that you've created in your roast, so flavours, acidity, all body, all that kind of stuff, it's gone. After about 2-3 weeks, that just declines. So it's gone out of coffee. So if you're picking up something on the shelf and it says, hazelnut and cherry and this and that, that's just rubbish. It's gone. It will taste like a coffee.
Yeah.
And that's all that's left. Just that coffee, there's an oil in the bean that's released and that's your coffee. So, and that's another thing too, a packet that has beans that are shiny and that are bleeding as such, it's the oil leaving.
Of course.
Once the oil has left the bean, that's what you want in your cup.
Yeah.
Once it's on the outside of the bean, it's already gone. So you can go to any number of places out there that are known for little sitting cafes that stock their own coffee and stuff, and you look in their little displays and often the beans are quite shiny and that's what happens after time. It'll just and it's gone stale. It will taste like coffee and it'll cut through milk, and that's we're big here on milk based in Australia.
Yeah.
We're all drinking lattes and cappuccinos and stuff, so cuts through the milk, fine, but all those flavours and stuff are pretty much gone.
So. Whenever you've made me a coffee at your place, I haven't had milk in it. Because that's clearly the way you would prefer.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at the depth of flavour, but also the profile, I suppose, of the flavour, like which is not what I had experienced with coffee, having grown up with international roast.
So there you go.
Where I have lots of milk in it, lots of sugar.
That's a good point. A really good point. And the first, and again, be it our coffee or be it someone else's that's freshly roasted, there's a massive difference. Some people will take it and go, first reaction, and my first reaction was, what is that? What was that?
Yeah.
And that would be a coffee that I'd roasted where I learned how to roast, and then a week later we'd cup it and drink it, and I was blown away. Like, I just thought, what is that? We purposely did things in the roast to bring that stuff out, and it's totally what you don't expect. And that sort of coffee is amazing, and that's the sort of coffee that wins competitions and stuff, but it's not the sort of coffee that your general coffee drinker is going to enjoy, because they'll think, wow, that's bitter, that's crap.
Well,
that's
I guess good. People are drinking coffee, they're not really drinking coffee, are they? They're drinking big cups of milk and four sugars in them.
Sure, you know, but even as a short black, it's a fresh coffee is nothing like what you would get in a commercial sense. It's nothing like it. Flavours and stuff in there are just... They're quite offensive sometimes.
So you roast it. Does it then sit for a period of time before you...
Yeah, well, depends on the purpose.
Yeah, right, okay.
Okay, so if you have a coffee machine or even a percolator or the cafetière we talked about before... it's good to sit around for at least sort of 4 or 5 days. However, if you use a plunger or any kind of cold filtered sort of coffee, straight out of the roaster is perfect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just the way it's brewed. It can capture the flavours really well. Whereas in a machine, your coffee's really got to... It's really got to balance out. It needs to degas, and that's why your bags have got the valve, the one-way valve. It's to let those gases escape from the bag. So they're still in the bag for a few days, and sometimes they're not. They've got to leave the bean. Otherwise, it'll taste a bit kind of greenish.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So it needs to balance out. And as the coffee gets older, like in that sort of window before it gets too old, the body increases too, and that's where you start to get that really nice crema and that people go on about, because the body takes time to happen in the thing.
Do you believe that the person making the coffee has a direct, as not just the roaster, but beyond that, there's the coffee that you are about to drink? Do you believe that person has
the barista you're talking about?
Or not necessarily, but the person making coffee. I'm not suggesting that I have
the barista. No. Okay.
Do you think they have, how much of an impact do you think they have on the taste of your coffee?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of think. Because they look like they're just pushing the button.
Yes. Oh. Well, often they are, but they've kind of, the machine is programmed. A lot of those kind of cafe machines, they're programmed, which they or the coffee provider has spent time programming. So it's pouring the shot perfectly, because you want that nice thin pour that takes about 30 seconds to extract. So if you're getting a coffee and there's your coffee in 10 seconds, you already know it's going to be under extracted and sour.
I ask that because I kind of have the same theory on coffee as I do with food. It's like, you know how everyone loves a home cooked meal, and it's, for me, most of that is you can kind of tell whoever's made it for you loves you. It's like, or they love like my mum says, I just love to cook.
Mm.
And then you eat her food and you go, this isn't someone who just likes making food.
Yeah, the passion.
And then give me it to people.
That's right.
And it's funny, I can so often tell if I've ordered a coffee and I can just see the mood that someone's in.
Mm.
And if they're happy, it's a good coffee. And I'm wondering how much it's me tasting my idea of whether someone's happy or not. Right. But when I see someone who looks pretty bitter about being at work today, that coffee's shitty.
Yeah.
like the milk's too hot, like, or it's really watery.
When I was a kid and still living at home, obviously, and we would have dinner together, and then I, you know, my parents would ask if I'd go and make them a coffee, and I just a shitty kid. So I'm like, fuck, I don't want to go and make a coffee. And we are talking just instant coffee, but just being an ass.
Don't give it to
throw
Dom.
Throw the shit in the Dom thing. There's the thing. And I don't know why my parents ever would have just taken that on board. Not seeing the attitude, but tasting the attitude. Because it wasn't good. Even within the constraints of there's boiling the water and there's a spoonful of coffee and there's however much sugar and there's some milk. Just a shitty, bad. And so then when I started drinking coffee myself and would make it the same way, it's like, oh, this is horrible. God, I subjected my parents to this, so they just took it on board. I was a horrible child.
Have you had a chance to ask your mum whether she's got any photos of her pregnant?
Stop it. So now, when I make them a coffee, I put, you know, the requisite amount of care into it. That makes a difference.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And even just with even instant coffee, I mean, there's ways you can create it that is better than...
Richie Jarvis makes a killer instant coffee. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm saying that from 1998, when it used to come around to my house in that Sanders Road in Box Hill.
Yeah.
And he'd make... come, he's like, how do you make instant coffee taste that good?
Yeah.
And yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's ways, yeah. Because part of the problem is when you're pouring... It's the same with tea. A lot of people don't realise that with tea, you put a tea bag in, and then what do? When you make a tea, what happens?
Well, if are there any rice? I think you're supposed to. I think you're only supposed to boil the water once, like fresh water.
Okay.
Boil it once.
Yeah. Otherwise, you boil the oxygen out of it.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's even more technical than where I was going.
But okay, that's good.
Learning.
Okay,
so you're supposed to dunk the tea like
warm briefly. The cup.
Ah, warm the cup.
Okay. Yeah.
Dunk the tea and then take them, like, but really quick. It's not supposed to soak.
What? No.
But you boil the kettle and you tip it in, yeah?
Yeah.
Think you're supposed to pour it through. You're supposed to, that's why you can buy, like, the tea strainer. You're supposed to pour it through.
And you got, like, leaves or...
Yeah. Before there was the convenience of the tea bag, yeah.
Yeah.
Tea bags were just voted in the...
I believe how many times we're saying tea bag and not the laughing.
The top 10 inventions of the 20th century. Tea bags.
Yeah.
In the top 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah. After the plough.
The plough?
After the plough. Yeah, the plough's on the list.
Coffee pod must be there somewhere.
That'd be
fucking coffee. Well, you don't like coffee pods?
No. Well, I don't like them any more than I like instant coffee.
What about
because surely it's the same. Isn't it good, the same?
I just want you to
what about
talk
dolphin
about
pods?
Okay.
Yes.
So. Yeah, the same but with more packaging.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, not good.
They're pretty though.
But it's...
Pod machines?
Well, just the pods.
And they're convenient. They're very convenient. Yeah, that's like we're in a world of convenience, aren't we? And it's like the tea bag. I mean, who can be bothered getting leaves and using those strainers and stuff? But... You know, but what I was getting at earlier.
Yes. What about tea? Tell us.
Was that boiling water, that 100 degrees water, is burning whatever the hell you're putting it
well,
on.
It's
so whether it's coffee, whether it's tea.
Is it like a... It's a different temperature of water, isn't it? So you're supposed to pour through your coffee.
I mean, it's just a case of... In that situation... Look, a professional or even semi-professional coffee machine, you have control of the temperature. Yep. Okay? They all have temperature controls in them. But the same goes with any other method. So if you're making a cup of tea or even instant coffee, you're pouring hot water straight on it. Yeah. So you're straight away burning whatever you're putting it on. So technically you're supposed to, you know, let the kettle cool down and put it in at, you know, 88, 90 degrees.
Yeah, right. Whatever it is. The same way that 10 years ago Australians all just used to drink their white wine too cold.
Right.
What happened? Yeah.
You're scratching your microphone.
Yeah, that would have just gone. Yeah. He's new at this.
It's like, yeah, it's only episode 6.
Yeah, so. But anyway, yeah, it's just little things, even without having superior equipment or product, you know, just little things that I guess you just.
You so now you know it. A lot about coffee making. What's your consumer experience?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask a different question to that. Yeah.
What question?
Are you now a pain in the ass about?
I try not to be. I do visit people and have an instant coffee, and I'll have a pod. See?
Instant coffee! Instant. Oh, right. Sorry, I misunderstood.
You know, so yeah, I'm not a snob in that sense, but I will get an espresso at every opportunity if I'm out somewhere at a restaurant or whatever.
To try? To see what... I do,
because I just out of habit, I want to see what they're doing, and I don't need to say anything, you know. I might get a roll of the eyes by the wife, Amy. But you know, outside of that, I just sort of, just for myself, just to see what they're using, I can get a lot by the taste of it.
I'm the same way with brownies. Like, right. I'm really good at making them, and everywhere I see one.
I thought he meant Girl Guides.
No. I got it straight away.
Okay.
Yeah. Wherever I go, I will test it to see if it's any good.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on Girl Guides. All right, go on.
It's not a good place.
We'll move on.
Oh. Mm.
Are you sad that I don't drink coffee anymore?
Don't.
No.
We have to. What happened? I'm so sorry. I'm stuttering. Someone needs to get a phone, an internet connection. I had this conversation with someone the other day about Girl Guides. And so what's the Cub... Was there anyone ever a Cub Scout? Were you a Cub Scout?
No, I was.
No. What's
That's
the motto?
I first learnt to
what's
crack
the Cub
knuckles.
Scout motto? Do you remember?
I will always do my best. No, be prepared.
Be prepared. Right. Look up the Girl Guide motto.
Oh.
Right, so someone do that.
No.
Yeah. And... Someone told she recited me the Girl Guide motto, right? And you know, an hour later, I was still waiting for her to finish. And I said, "That right there is the difference between men and women, summed up in Girl Guide motto and Cub Scout motto."
The guide promise.
Yep.
Every girl and adult that is a member of guiding throughout the world makes a promise.
Yes.
The words may be slightly different from country to country, but the spirit and meaning of the words are the same wherever guiding exists.
By the way, I think be prepared is probably
okay. Right. I haven't got to it yet. I didn't realize that was the preamble.
And be prepared pretty much means the same thing everywhere as well.
I promise that I will do my best to be true to myself and develop my beliefs, to serve my country and Australia and live by the guide law.
Right, so it's been condensed because you used to have the Queen in there as well. But I was just like, that's really a lot of words. Why can't you guys just be prepared too?
Yeah, that's true.
My grandmother started Girl Guides in Tasmania.
Leader.
Did you
see? Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. She was a personal friend of Lord Baden-Powell's.
What do they have? Because obviously the Cubs and Scouts have the Jungle Book dudes.
Yes, Arkayla and those guys.
Bagheera. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have Shere Khan? No, that's probably not.
Brownie's the same as Girl Guides.
No, they're the mini versions. It's like Cubs and Scouts.
Wikipedia, Brownie, brackets, Girl Guides.
Yeah, right. Wikipedia.
A Brownie is
a... It's not Encyclopedia Britannica, is it? Did you have one?
Okay, so prior to 2012, the promise was, I promise that I will do my best, semicolon, to do my duty to God, to serve the Queen and my country, to help other people, and to keep the guide law.
There it is.
Prior to 1996, which is better, a brownie guide thinks of others before herself and should do a good turn every day.
Be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared.
That's all you need.
Be prepared.
So I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Yeah,
I think that. I think the differences more. Between men and women are just summed up in those two things. You can do more.
No, I won't. No. I could.
Oh, that's cold. That was a good segue into guides and
brownies. Yeah. Okay. This particular podcast is far more contained and has been kept on track.
Oh, it's quite focused.
Much better than
I
our
feel
previous
very focused.
Thing.
Yeah.
Right, because we usually will say, someone will say brownies and you'll go, what, Girl Guides? And then Matt will talk about some other experience having his heart broken at Sexpo or something.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. King Street.
I've never had my heart broken.
So, what's your current with your coffee business? Yeah. What are you doing with that at the moment? Is it just kind of been a thing on the side that you do, or are you developing it, putting it into coffee
shops? Yeah, look, it's developing, but I think it's, I still look at it as a hobby Like, it's certainly a passion, but it's not. It's something that's funding itself and it's growing, which is great.
Awesome.
But I think there's a line that you cross that. It's an interesting thing because you know it's to get into cafes and that kind of thing.
Well, that was the other question I was going to ask you. Yeah, right.
Yeah, our plan is to do that, but it's more of an exclusivity kind of thing as opposed to putting it out there and trying to get as many cafes as you can.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening is you end up being in the same boat as all the other coffee companies, which, I mean, great, they're probably all making money and doing their thing. There's a lot, yeah.
Good Lord, there's so many.
Yeah. But
they've got umbrellas.
That's right. And that's the thing. And the idea is to, in order to maintain the integrity of the coffee, you want to keep it fairly low key. I'd love to provide one or two cafes where I can, you know, stand by what we're delivering. We're not in that game of providing equipment, cups, umbrellas, bollards, you know, happy to with a particular place, but you know, why don't cafes advertise their cafe as opposed to what coffee's there? People don't really care what coffee's at their cafe, I don't think.
Do you know what I do care about?
What's that?
The cups, the takeaway cups.
Right.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. They need to be labelled and
no. I really like corrugated cups.
Oh, like
corrugated. And they're rare now because obviously they're more expensive.
Okay.
There's an extra layer.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, corrugated cups. Just the
You should open a cafe.
I'd love to. Yeah. Among the millions of other things I love to do. It's like, I'd love to do this.
Yeah.
I like to have a fishing charter.
It'd be nice.
Don't like fish.
Yeah. That'd be lovely.
It'd be lovely. Thanks. Steve should actually permanently join this podcast and keep us on track.
I've discovered since I have stopped drinking coffee that when I do drink coffee...
That's so rude.
Yes. Just checking what time
it was. That I'm much more appreciative of whether or not it's good or bad.
Mm,
But what I learned from when I... Instant coffees at home, work in the studio, all that sort of thing. I would drink maybe a dozen cups a day.
Yeah.
Two sugars in each.
No.
Instant coffee because... And it was habit more than anything.
And then I went two sugars in each.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, so I stopped and I had a headache for 4 days, literally 4 days. And I'd take painkillers and like it wouldn't touch it.
No.
Ridiculous. Anyway, so once I did that, I quit for probably 5 or 6 months and then I started having... Like I'd set my limit at 2 a day, and then of course that was 3 a day, and whatever.
Yeah.
But I then subsequent to that decided that I just needed, because still two sugars in each, needed to just have less sugar in my diet, just to be a healthier, less well-rounded individual. So since that time, if I drink a good coffee, a real coffee, I actually just don't like the taste of the coffee. I like the taste of sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I quit sugar in my coffee the day of Shannon's wedding. Which was the last time I had a soft drink as well. So I
no soft drink since then.
No.
You're amazing.
I know.
That's great.
Yeah. But that's that's how you lose 22 kilos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Easy. Just don't have sugar.
Correct. Seen it time and time again.
Yep. But yeah, So I've gone the opposite way. I enjoy coffee far more now that I don't have sugar in it. Also, I drink probably about 60% of the coffee I buy because I throw it out.
I got a question for you.
Because it's crap.
And it relates to Dom. Butter in your coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Butter?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the look on your face.
How's that come about? No.
Have you heard of
I'm sure it's got a name.
It's branded even. It's Bulletproof Coffee, they call it.
Okay.
So the idea is for people who want to get sugar out of their diet, right, but they don't want to have, they still want to have a kind of a creamy coffee.
Yeah.
They will put butter in it instead of milk. So you also get...
This is in an instant coffee?
No, so you would have... You would you know, grind the beans and put it through your coffee machine, and then then you get like a stick of butter and you throw it in.
A stick?
Yeah, like a 30, 40 grams of butter.
Is that a stick? No, I think a stick of butter is actually a measurement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So roughly what a little, like you get on your little...
A pat of butter.
I'm not sure of the technical term.
Like your little kind of serve size that you'd get at a wedding or something?
No, what you do, imagine your 250 gram block, right? You'd probably cut 30...
I think that's a stick.
30 grams off. So 30 or 40 grams.
Okay.
Right, so a good chunk of butter.
Yeah.
Right, and then you put a bit more hot water in it, and then you'll blend it.
Hmm.
So you get a creamy...
Oh, I didn't even know that was the process. Yeah.
For the point of replacing the sugar?
So the thing is, what they like about coffee is the kind of blend of the milk and the coffee and that kind of taste and also the consistency of what that drink is. Like that's kind of like a nice feeling drink to have. Mm. So they don't want it, they might not be able to drink milk for some reason, or they just decide they want to get the sugar out of the diet because there's sugar in milk.
Yeah.
So, and also because there's more fat in butter, which is supposed to kind of be good for hunger, you know, you're supposed to have more fat in our diet, they'll have that. So you get what kind of feels like you're having a latte, and it tastes very, very similar. Mm. It sounds, people go, oh my God, that sounds terrible.
Mm.
But it's actually not.
Unsalted butter?
Look, I've not made it with salted butter, but...
Mm. Look, it's interesting. I haven't heard of that one, but I get it. Probably comes down to...
Dom does a lot of stuff.
Taste. I mean, it doesn't sound kosher, like what I think you would do with a coffee. I know there's a lot of people who don't like coffee. It's a very...
it's a quite powerful.
Next time you come on, we should do it.
All right, we'll do all
your stuff. Bring your machine,
and I'll bring you.
I'll bring some butter.
Bring the
butter. Yeah,
that's going to be a load of fun. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do that, and we should probably wrap up because this is almost an hour now.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Steve's got a lot more he wants to say.
He can be our special guest every week. He can be our third ring.
Awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot what you were talking about for a second there. I thought you were Gandalf or what is that, what he's from?
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Gandalf.
Yes. Is he the one? Was that
is Gandalf?
Yeah, Gandalf. Or... Yeah. No, just in my head I just had to say Dumbledore. But
they do look the same.
Surely.
Yeah.
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 And they're a similar kind of
magic.
They go to the same gym. I think they're both.
Go to
the same gym.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Is that what Steve, thanks so much, mate.
It's been a wonderful experience, being part of the Our Circus.
How do we find you? Verita Coffee.
Verita Coffee, yep. You can find us online, .com.au, Facebook. You might see the car buzzing around.
Oh, yeah. Buzzing. Oh,
buzzing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's been great being a part of a coffee podcast.
You're a natural. Look at you.
Something like that. It's been great.
I'll tell you what, next time too, I'll bring my acoustic bass and you can do the song with us.
I know, we messed up. And during the episode I was thinking we messed up because you should have been here to play with us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Alright, well we should stop this now and then actually have a social night.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks, man.
Great. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Thanks for having us.
Oh.
God, you're so strong.
I know.
That's why you said gym. Because he knows
you, Gandalf, and Dumbledore all just spotting one another.
That's why the beard's going to turn white.
Cheers, man.
Thanks guys.
See ya.